Hallelujah. Let us just pray right away. Father, in the name of Jesus, you will search and you will find the one. You leave the 99, but you will find the one.
Yes.
There's no one under the sound of my voice that is ever lost to you.
No.
God, I thank you, God, for your word searching this morning.
Yes.
To find just the one. I bless you, Father, for what you're about to do.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you, God Almighty, for your quickening power that resides in us. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord again.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah. A lot has been said about fathers, and rightly so. Today is a day when we celebrate Father's Day. We call it Father's Day. There are some things that fathers carry, and I'll say it for those who don't know, but I'll say it for some of us men, that as you bless us, but there are some things that women carry, some burdens that we don't share. And so I want to applaud the fathers that are carrying burdens, weighed down on the stuff, yokes, that nobody else knows. But God knows.
Yes.
And but I'm applauding the men who have found themselves in that place, and to let them know that God is still the answer, that they can come out from under the yoke and the burdens that they carry.
Yes.
Our scripture this morning, we've read before, but I'm just going to tie them in together, read them both one after the other. The first one is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I'm using a title this morning, your father is the captain.
Amen.
Can you say that?
Yes. Father is the captain.
Let's make it personal too. My father is the captain. I know this might make somebody uneasy to say my father is the captain, because we might not always have had the greatest of experience with our fathers. But I promise you, I'm going to steady the ship. I don't want you to bail right now. I don't want you to jump overboard. But you'll understand as we go by a little clearer. The captain of a ship is the highest authority on board. He's responsible for the overall operation,
yes,
the safety and management of the vessel,
yes,
management of the crew, and management of the cargo. So the captain is the highest authority. I want you to follow me. There are some key responsibilities that have been given to fathers. It's been given to captains. So the key responsibilities to captains is for navigation and safety. The captain, your father, is responsible for the safe navigation of the ship, for making critical decisions regarding which route to take, how to plan the route, and so forth. Decisions concerning the weather conditions, the conditions of life, and that. And what are the emergency procedures? What do you do when there's trouble brewing? They must ensure that the vessel is seaworthy, yes, and that it complies with all safety regulations.
Yes.
Another thing the captain does is that he manages the crew. He's responsible, yes, for crew management.
Yes.
The captain oversees the crew, assigning duties, supervising operations, and ensuring that all personnel are trained and adhere to safety protocols. And this includes conducting like drills and managing crew, the crew's welfare. Then also the captain is over crew operations. Right to follow me. The captain coordinates the loading and unloading of cargo, ensuring that it is handled safely and efficiently. They must also maintain accurate records of cargo and manage the ship's inventory. Can you say my father is a captain?
My father is a captain.
Now, another thing they're responsible for is legal compliance. The captain ensures that the ship complies with local and international maritime laws, including environmental regulations and safety protocols. They are responsible for maintaining the ship's documentation and certifications. They're also responsible for communication. The captain regularly communicates with port officials, other vessels, and the crew to ensure smooth operations. This includes obtaining docking clearances and coordinating with harbor authorities. Can you say, my father is the captain?
My father is the captain.
In Ephesians chapter 6, we are given instructions concerning relationships in the family structure. He talks about children obeying the parents and so forth. And these same instructions are also replicated in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. You see those there as well. There are, and they receive a command to honor fathers.
Yes.
It's not like a suggestion by God. Honor father and mother is a command.
Yes.
When you go to Exodus chapter 20, you'll see.
It's
a command.
Yes.
It is given to us. Today we honor and celebrate fathers because father is a great influence upon the next generation. He's a great influence upon generations. Sometimes we don't feel it, but the fact of the matter is that God has so set us in as the captain, so to speak, in authority to be able to give instructions and directions. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, but it also comes with a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Let the fathers know, in terms of honoring, that we appreciate them.
Yes.
Let the fathers know, you encourage them.
Yes.
And let fathers know that you love them,
yes,
that you're thankful for the role that they play.
Yes.
Why? Because it is God that has given them that role.
Amen.
And they have a worth in the sight of God.
Yes.
Let fathers also know that you need them. We need them.
Amen.
Even in areas where fathers are failing.
Yes.
Because I'm going to get to it, the fact that we need them. The Bible didn't say if they have been successful, honor them. It says honor fathers and mothers.
Yes.
We honor mothers regardless of whether they're failing or not.
Yes.
So we honor fathers likewise. And I'm not lifting up failures, but I'm saying to us that we need to honor them.
Yes.
And honor means you esteem people. You esteem them as and value them as being precious.
Yes.
Father, I need you. Father, I need you. Years ago, I got home from church. It must have been, I'm thinking about 30 years after my father died. And I just started walking through the house. And I bawled like nothing. I'm crying.
Yes, yes.
My father.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so my wife, of course, they wondered what's wrong with me. But inside, my father died about 30 years ago.
Yes, yes.
But inside, I felt the need for a father. I felt the need. I was going through some stuff, and I needed like a father to be able to say to me, it's going to be okay. I've been on the journey, and I can tell you that it will be all right. So I was there crying out, and deep down, though I'm crying for my earthly father, it was really too my Heavenly Father that I'm crying for. Because
yes.
He's the source of our help.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we fathers need encouragement.
Yes.
We need to be able to, we need you to let us know too,
yes,
that you appreciate us.
Yes.
We might look like we are stern and, you know, we are disciplinarians and all of that stuff, but in beneath that toughness,
yes,
there is the need for someone to affirm us,
yes. Yes.
And to just encourage us.
Yes.
And so so honor is you esteem and you value as precious.
Yes.
And this must be an intentional effort, and it must be done with consistency. We are living in a society we like to do a one-off kind of a stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day is love day, and then the rest of the year we can, it's not no love. Mother's Day, we celebrate mothers, and then the rest of the year we don't honor them as much.
Yeah.
Father's Day, same way. We like to do one-off stuff, but honoring, as far as God is concerned, it must be done intentionally and with consistency.
Yeah.
It's something that we do right throughout. And I want to say that honor also is an exercise of both words and action. When you honor somebody, it's not just a word, Father, I love you. But there's some actions that goes with that. Respect comes with it. And no wonder the scripture says that whatever you do in word and deed, do it as unto the Lord. Right? It's word and deed is action. That's honoring and esteeming. About 5 years ago, my wife had a niece and a nephew who came from Jamaica, and they spent about a year with us. I'm going to give you an example of action. They spent about a year with us, and during that time, this one day my wife, I cooked a meal, they were at home, I was running late, and so my wife said to her niece and nephew who was staying with us, she said, you guys can eat now. I can wait until Mr. Daly gets home. And her niece said, we will wait until Mr. Daly gets home.
Yes.
That wasn't there, but when my wife told me that, it blessed me so much.
Yes.
That's showing respect and honor,
yes,
not for me the person,
yes,
but for the position that I occupy in the house.
Yes.
And it is something, and that's what I'm saying, we can,
yes,
do things that honor and respect the person.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't have had a problem if they'd gone ahead and eat. You know, I wouldn't have had a problem. Because the way our fathers are,
yes,
as I was saying to a man yesterday,
yes,
we don't mind them get women and children getting all the blessings.
Yes.
We don't mind you celebrating Mother's Day, and,
yes,
and even if you,
yes,
take a step back on Father's Day. Because his thing was, man, and yes, they're not going to give us much tomorrow. Or that. You know, and he said, the restaurants are going to be empty on Mother's Day. So I said, we don't mind that. Because we have been trained to sacrifice.
Yes.
We have been trained to put women and children first.
Yes.
We have been trained to shoulder the burden.
Yes.
Carry the load.
Yes.
Even when your back is breaking and even when your heart is broken,
yes,
carry the load. That's how we have been trained. And so, but we don't mind it.
Bless the Lord.
So, fathers need that kind of encouragement too.
Yes.
I like what Ephesians says, because it gives us also an insight into the role of fathers. And it says, Ephesians 6, verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is heavy duty stuff.
Yes.
This is a heavy duty responsibility. It's there in what? About two lines or so on? But this is a lifetime of responsibility that is just wrapped up in two lines.
Yes.
It says, do not provoke not, mean to exasperate your children.
Yes.
Do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment.
Yes.
Do not rear them up, but we must rear them up tenderly in the training and disciplining and counsel and admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
Training and bringing up in the fear of God is nourishing. It's giving life-producing and life-sustaining substance,
yes,
to our children. It's loving them and caring for them and training and equipping them for the handling of life.
Yes.
When a man affirms and empowers a child, there's something about it that is more impacting than any other kind of affirmation that child will ever be able to get. Mother's affirmation is good, But when a father empowers and affirms a child, it's an authority stamp upon that child.
Yes.
And like what God says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse is 5 and 6, and you know it very well. He says, be strong and very courageous.
Yes.
He says, and the life, right?
Yes.
And the life. Be strong and very courageous. I applaud the men who have walked in this era, been strong and very courageous, who are handling life. Manage life, he's saying. Just manage it. Life is going to throw a whole lot of stuff at us. But he's saying, manage life. Exercise proper rulership and stewardship over what God has put us over.
Yes.
Right? And learn to always look to me, to God, for guidance and direction.
Yes, indeed.
He says to them, I read verse 5 and 6, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then he said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them.
Yes.
Fathers, know the value of everything God has put you in charge over. Know what wives and daughters, who they represent. I want us to understand that our wives and daughters are not second class nor beneath. It is our responsibility to raise them up as much as to raise our sons. So God has given us charge over them. Some years ago, and we have to learn to value them,
yes,
value their opinion.
Yes,
some years ago, I was had some money and I wanted to bless my wife. And so I instructed her, I said, listen, I want you to have this. I want you to just spend on yourself. I don't want you to buy anything else. Just spend on yourself. We're going to go shopping. And so we went to some outlet mall. In my mind, I'm thinking it's a beach or so on, but could be a better beach. But just shop on yourself. And so my daughter came with us. The three of us went, and so my wife started going to stores, and she's looking at stuff. She's looking at hats, and she's looking at this, and I'm like, it's supposed to be spending for yourself, in my mind, and I'm going on. So she's looking at different stuff, and I'm like, I'm getting like kind of antsy now, and I'm saying, just don't look at that, man. Just get it for yourself. And I thank God for my daughter. My daughter pulled me aside and said, listen, leave her alone. It's the process. Let her enjoy the process. She's going to buy for herself.
Yes.
It's a process.
Yes.
And it taught me a lesson that it's as a man, I can sit back and trust them to be able to do it right. And I'm saying that you don't silence their voices. But you allow them to be able to they have an opinion too. And so when God gives you stewardship over anything, value them very well. I like the fact that the apostle of the church last month appreciated the women. Because they have value in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And what they say in the church, they have gifts. God didn't separate men and say, man, you have this gift, and I'm not giving women any gift. He gave gifts to people, right? And so neither, but we must affirm them by demonstrating that their opinions matter as much as ours.
Yes, sir.
So fathers, let them realize that they are a valued part of the decision-making process.
Yes.
The captain might make the final decision, but ultimately the opinions of those that are serving alongside him is valuable. And he relies very much on that.
Yes,
and some fathers have stopped affirming their sons and daughters. And this is perhaps is the missing element why our society is lacking in compassion. People don't have as much compassion as they used to. Mordecai affirmed Esther. The Apostle Paul affirmed Timothy. And God the Father affirmed Jesus Christ. He says, this is my beloved son. Can you say my father is the captain?
My father is the captain.
So, value the opinions of those that God has put you to oversee. Don't fight for their opinions. Do not stifle their initiatives. And don't stifle their voices. Because there's a lot to learn from just hearing your families, hearing the things that they have to say. Years ago, after I got married, many, many years ago, I did an exercise, I call it that. And so there are four of us, me, my wife, son, and daughter, and I got some, what I call the index card, like a cue card, something like this, for example. Everybody know what a cue card is, something like this. Yeah. And here's what the exercise was. For those of you on Radio Land, some index cards with lines on both sides of it. I have 16 cards. Each person, I gave 4 cards.
Yes.
The exercise was on, you are supposed to write about one person on each card. On one side, you're going to write the strength of the person, and on the other side, you write the weakness of the person. Are you following?
Yes.
So each person has 4 cards. So if I, for example, would write, this card would be, let's say, for my wife, I'll write her strength here, or weakness here. The next card, let's say, for myself, I'll write my strength here, my weakness is here. The next card I have, strength, weakness for my son. The next card, strength, weakness for my daughter. So each person did this 4 cards. After they've done it, the 3 cards you would give to the other 3 persons. Keep the 1 for yourself, and you're going to give each person the card you wrote for them. So each person end up with 4 cards that was written about them.
Yes.
So I would end up with a card about what my wife says about me, my strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
What I say about my strengths and weaknesses. What my daughter says about me for strengths and weaknesses. And what my son says about my strengths and weaknesses. And when I got back my card and I looked at the comments about my weaknesses, it wasn't flattering. It really wasn't flattering. But that was many, many years ago. But they didn't know that I stole of those cards.
Yes.
And I was able to see God work on me. So fast forward about, it's just a few years ago, where it was a Father's Day, I believe, our birthday.
Yes.
And they started to bless me and say how good I was and all of this stuff and so on. And I went and took all the cards and I was able to show them. I said, these were my weaknesses. But, you know, thank God for what you're saying now. It shows that I'm not the same. And I'm saying to some man, you can't be the same. You'll not be the same. Value their opinions. What they said gave me an insight into what they really saw. And they saw my weaknesses. And I didn't go out and say, I'm going to try to work on this. You know what happened? Just being submitted to God. Allow him to work it out. And he's working on your strength. And even though he's working on somebody's strengths and weaknesses, and you don't even recognize and realize that he's working it out. He's working on the things that are troubling.
Yes.
He's working on the things that you're failing at.
Yes.
He's working on the things that are that you have struggled with all of life. If you allow him to. So I didn't try both and say, okay, they said, listen, you talk too much.
Yes.
Are you this? You're rough. Are you this? I didn't go to work on it. No, I didn't work on anything.
Yes.
God worked on the inside, and it came up on the outside.
Yes.
Somebody bless his name. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, my father is the captain. Yes, Lord. Yes. Now, I want to say to us too, insecurity. Because as a man, we can get insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But insecurity will cause you to damage and tear down the things God has placed you in stewardship over. Insecurity makes dangerous leaders. When you're insecure, it's dangerous leaders. Look worldwide. You're going to see some insecure leaders, and they make dangerous leaders.
Yes.
Insecurity destroys people, it destroys family, and destroys nations. Insecurity really is an uncertainty about who you are, and anxiety, and all of that, a lack of confidence in who God has made you to be. And it makes you more vulnerable to the lie of the enemy. When you're insecure, you'll run here and there and so forth because you're looking for affirmation here, there, and everywhere. But God's word is what affirms us.
Yes.
Insecurity produces toxic relationships. It destroys homes. Many homes and relationships have been destroyed because of insecurity. But we have learned and we have been taught to speak life, and I'm saying to fathers, speak life and speak hope and speak destiny into your children. Don't destroy them. Proverbs 25 and 11 is something you need to, we need to meditate on regularly. It says a word aptly and rightly spoken is like apples of gold in setting of silver. It stands out. And that word that you speak in children's life and even in family members' life, it has a way of breathing life into them. Somebody said, "My God, that God, my Father, is the captain." Yes. So I've looked at what been some of the instructions that God gives us in terms of what that one honor fathers. Secondly, the fathers, do not exasperate, provoke your children to wrath, but raise them up, train them, discipline them, love them, care for them, show them the way, handle them with care. They are precious treasure. And bless them, like Jacob blessed his 12 sons. So don't exasperate them to wrath. And so I wanted to bring us to the book of Malachi. Because Malachi identifies the problem that exists. We have been given this instruction, children to honor parents and obey parents, and fathers to train them up. And but Malachi identifies a problem that existed. In Malachi it says, the problem Malachi actually identifies is a problem of separation.
Yes.
And I want to say to fathers is that you did not start this fight of separation.
No.
We are not, the fathers haven't started, you know that they exist today as fathers. You did not start this fight of separation. But you can do something about it.
Indeed.
We are called to do something about it.
Yes.
You can break the cycle of absent fathers, or the cycle of the legacy of absent fathers, the legacy of uninvolved fathers.
Yes.
The story is told, some of you should have known this. There's a ship years ago, an American ship that was off the waters of Somalia. And a movie was made about the ship. And there's a Somalian group, pirates, that had taken over the ship. They had hijacked the ship. And a movie was made by Hollywood about the ship. And one of the famous lines the hijacker used is, he came on and he says, "I didn't go to the movie, but I saw the clips on TV." He says, "I'm the captain now." He says, "I'm the captain now." And this is exactly what the enemy wants to do.
Yes.
Enemy wants to kidnap fathers, hijack families, and destroy the word of God.
Yes.
It's flawed.
Yes.
But I want to say to us this morning that it won't work. Can you say it won't work?
It won't work.
Can you put some attitude behind it and say it won't work? He wants, not under our watch. That must be our stance. It won't work, not under my watch. Will the enemy kidnap me or hijack my family or try to destroy the word of God from my life? So it won't work. So Malachi identified the problem in verse 6 and he says, "And he, when he comes, Jesus shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children." So he identifies the fact that there's a problem of separation. And this problem needs to be addressed. And so he says he will turn the hearts of the estranged fathers, the absent fathers, the uninvolved fathers. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the ungodly children, because when we don't train them up in the way that they should go, they become ungodly. He will turn them to their hearts to the children. He's going to turn the hearts of the rebellious children to their fathers. And this is an act of reconciliation, which God will bring about. And it's produced by repentance of the ungodly. He says, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse and a ban of utter destruction."
Yes.
But notice the heart is the center of love and affection.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that when the heart is separated from the children, the love and the affection, there's no flow of that taking place. The heart is what receives the understanding from God. And if that heart is separated, it's not going to share and train and instruct our children. And then when he said, meaning he's returning it back to the Father, it means simply that it is broken. It has gotten away from what's original. If you're going somewhere and you ask a direction and they say, go back, what they say to you? You're in the wrong direction.
Yes,
you're heading in the wrong direction.
Yes,
so God is saying, something is wrong with families and it's broken. And when I come, I'm going to turn them back.
Yes.
So as you turn to God, he's the one that's going to turn you back to turn your heart back. Because when he says, I'm going to turn your heart and turn the father's heart back to the children, he's not saying that he's going to do it all at the same time. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to turn everybody's heart all at the same time. It doesn't even mean that everybody's heart will be turned at the same pace.
Yes.
Different people learn different ways.
Yes.
I learned something by my index card. Yes. Somebody else learned something another way. But here's how it starts. The day you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you are now on the trajectory to be changed, to be transformed,
yes,
to receive proper instruction and direction.
Yes,
so he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the Father.
Yes,
so he'll do it. We don't grow at the same pace. You know, a young father will, you can't compare a father who's just a father with a father who has 40 years of experience under his belt. Unless the father with 40 years of experience have not learned anything. Right? But you expect to grow, to grow, to grow. So we get better at this thing.
Yes.
And I'm saying to us is that God shall turn and reconcile the hearts of his fathers, these estranged fathers, back to God. And God will work it out. Somebody said, we asked the question, I said, trust God.
Yes,
trust God to work it out.
Yes,
and somebody might say, why trust God? Let me get ready to close, but I'll share the story with you.
Yes.
I'll tell you why to trust God. There's this young boy by the seashore. He's on the deck, the dock of the shore. There's a man there also near the bar. And the little boy was on the shore, and there was a ship way out yonder. And the little boy kept waving at the ship. And the man said to him, little boy, don't be silly. By you waving, that ship won't come nearer to us. And he kept waving. And lo and behold, the ship just kept getting closer and closer and closer. Came up, and the little boy got on the ship and went up on the deck. And from the deck, he said to the man, sir, see, I'm not silly. The captain is my father. Can you say my father is the captain? My father is the captain, right? He's the one that's steering the ship. So the little boy knew that his father was watching him. Just like God is watching you and I. And God is expecting us to call upon him. And with a confidence knowing that what? My father is the captain. Call upon him, why? My father is the captain. Pray without ceasing, why? My father is the captain. Follow his instructions. Why? My father is the captain. Trust in him with all of your heart. Why? My father is the captain. Practice godliness and train up the children. Why? My father is the captain. So you are experiencing some turbulence right now?
Yes.
I say stay the course. Why?
My
father is the captain. Your father is the captain.
Yes.
So your house is in turmoil now? Remember what? Your father is the captain. Don't give up. Trust God through the process.
Yeah.
Allow God to steer the ship. Just release it to him.
Yeah.
Why? Because my father is the captain.
Yeah.
And regardless of where you're going to run into some difficulties.
Yeah.
You're going to encounter rough seas, fathers.
Yeah.
But you've got to stay the course.
Yeah.
Don't abandon ship. Because why?
My
father is the captain. Wait upon the Lord, I say. And again, I say, wait upon the Lord. Why? My father is the captain. Stay the course. Endure hardship as a good soldier. Fight the good fight of faith. Why? My father is the captain. Somebody praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, somebody under the sound of my voice this morning.
Yes.
I've not gotten come to the realization that your father is the captain. You haven't found your father yet, and your heart is longing for a father's love and affection and a father's care and a father's guidance. Just to be able to hear the voice of a father.
Yes.
You might not have even known your personal father, your earthly father.
Yes.
But there's still up there the greater voice than the earthly father.
Yes.
That is beckoning you to respond to him. He says, come unto me, all those who labor, burdened, ever laden. He will give you some rest.
Yes.
Under the weight and the burden and the cares of life, there's a Father above that is watching, waiting for you to signal him. And then when you signal him, he will surely steer the ship your way,
yes,
because he's the captain.
Yes.
So this invitation is to you who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
You have not trusted him.
Yes.
You have not known his love and his care and his compassion and mercy for you. It's also for those who have drifted. You're drifting off. And I'm saying return to the ship where your father is
the captain.
Yes. God in heaven, I pray for those who have not known you, those who have heard your voice, those who have come to surrender their lives to you. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that they would experience some transformation. They'll experience your goodness and your faithfulness. They'll know that you are great. They'll know that you are their creator. They'll know that you long for them. They'll know that you long to put your hands around them, to have them sit at your feet and to minister to them, to their burdens and their cares and their troubles and their struggles. But they'll know that you are a great father. You're not like an earthly father. If we ask you for bread, you'll not give us stone.
Yes, yes.
God, and if you ask for a fish, you'll not give them a serpent.
Yes.
God, I pray, O God Almighty, for surrender.
Yes.
I pray that you'll wash the father now, O God, that has felt lonely, rejected, that felt as if, Lord God, he cannot handle this life and his right.
Yes.
Remind him that you're there,
yes,
and you're there to take him up. When, even when his own mother and father forsook him, you will take him up.
Yes.
I bless you, O God, for the children, O God, that will honor even more their fathers and mothers, making it intentional and consistent.
Yes.
I bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for that Father whose eyes have seen you,
yes,
and recognize that this is a great responsibility.
Yes.
It's a monumental responsibility that you have given to him as a father.
Yes.
And God, that he would search your word and let your word teach him how to lead his family, how to bless his children,
yes,
how to pronounce blessing upon them.
Yes.
And how to encourage them and strengthen them and not provoke them.
Yes.
Not cause them to be exasperated.
Mm-hmm.
Not cause their spirit to be broken. But that we may, they may speak life to them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Lord God, the one that is drifting, the one, oh God, that feels like every weight and everything is upon them, even the mothers, oh God, Lord God, who have not known the help of a father, I pray, oh God, today that they will remember that their father is the captain.
Yes.
You're in charge. You have dominion, power, and authority.
Yes.
You speak and it's done complete.
Yes.
You're their light in the darkness.
Yes.
I praise you, oh God Almighty, that, Lord God, you lead them, oh God, with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. May they rely upon you and trust in you.
Yes.
And know that, oh God, it shall be all right.
Yes.
I thank you, O God, for being the captain of our souls.
Yes.
I thank you for healing and deliverance and breakthroughs.
Yes.
I thank you for enlightenment, O God, and I thank you that your word, O God, is mighty to save. We bless them, Father. And God, we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody bless his name.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody bless his name.
Amen, amen.
Bless
amen.
His name. Bless his
amen.
Name.
Amen, amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord.
Bless the Lord. bless the Lord. Before I take my seat, would you just say, my father is a captain?
My father is a captain.
Say it to my children. You know that you know. My father is a captain.
My father
is a captain.